If you are visiting with us today, I'm glad you are here. But I will tell you, this sermon isn't for you. I say that because this study that we're going to enter into today and continue on through the week on Wednesday night and into next Sunday morning is directed to this congregation and to the members of this congregation. The elders have, our current elders have come to a decision that it would be helpful if others were able to come in and join them in this role of elders, shepherds, overseers of the flock. And so they have set aside some time, really multiple weeks, only a couple of weeks of sermons, for you to, as members of this church, to understand a burden. And there is a burden. You are being asked to make a judgment call on another human being. And that is always a little scary, because none of us feel worthy to make a judgment call on another human being. But that is exactly what we're going to have to do. That we are going to be looking out from among ourselves to see if there are men here who could serve in this role alongside our current elders. And so in order to do that, you are going to have to some degree, judge every man in this congregation. Because before you could nominate someone, you literally go through your mind of who you are not nominating. So there is a judgment call. And it is a burden. And I hope you see it as a burden. This is not something to be taken lightly. So I say to you, if you're visiting with us today, I'm glad you are here and I want you to walk alongside us. But this is directed to us as a congregation because it is important for us to think. When Paul and Barnabas began their first missionary journey, they did so for what we have recorded of what happened at the beginning of Acts 13. I want you to listen to Acts 13, beginning with verse 1, and I'll try not to butcher all of these names. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a member of the court of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. I want you to understand that the few names that are mentioned here at the beginning of this chapter are the leaders there in this church in Antioch. And this is up above Israel, this particular Antioch, not the seashore Antioch. And it's in this church that the Jerusalem church has heard that the church in Antioch is flourishing. So they had sent Barnabas up there to go and see what's happening. And Barnabas sees the great things that are going on in Antioch and how they are literally touching a Gentile world with Jewish proselytes, Gentiles who have become kind of Jews. And so Barnabas gets Saul, brings him back. They spend a year there. And as the leadership, these prophets and teachers of the church, as they are praying, and I think that's a big, I don't want you to There's no verse that I'm going to mention today or next week that is a light verse. As they are in prayer, as they are in worship as a leadership, God, through the agent of the Holy Spirit, steps in and directs the mind or somehow connects this group to say, set apart for me these two men for a task that I have called them to. With more prayer and fasting, they lay their hands on them, and that begins what we call the first missionary journey. It doesn't go real far. We get in mostly the region of Galatia, that area anyway. And it's relatively small, but there's a bunch of churches that get established in that first missionary journey. Relatively short compared to some of the other journeys Paul would take. I want you to jump now to chapter 14 if you have your Bible, or you can follow along on the screen. This is the very end of that missionary journey, beginning with verse 21 of chapter 14. When they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. Now look at this. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. I find this a powerful passage. These are relatively new Christians. These are churches that have just been recently established congregations. Now, I do believe, and you can talk to me on a side level, I do believe that there are different gifts that were given during the first century in a more powerful way than what we have seen in our lives today. And I think for a reason, we can get into that separately. But as they now make their way back to Antioch, the decision that has been laid on Paul and Barnabas is that every congregation needs elders. And so they appoint elders in each of these cities, in each of these congregations that they have gone to. It begs the question, why? Why have elders? I mean, when you think about it, let's just be honest. When you think about Christianity, one of the things we talk about is how we are all one in Christ, how we are equal in Christ, that really in Christ it isn't about male or female, it isn't about slave or free, it isn't about rich or poor, it isn't about race. We are all one in Jesus Christ. We love that oneness, and that's a really important thing. We are equal in Christ. And then at the same time that we are told that we are equal, there is this idea of saying, but we need elders. Okay? Why? Why is that so essential to churches? I know, and I've talked with our elders currently, I know many people were expecting me to get up here and start reading through a list of qualifications. I'll scratch that itch next week, okay? Or whatever phrase that works. We'll do that next week. But if you don't know why you have elders, and all you're concerned about is a checklist, then you're coming at it not from a point of view of this prayer and fasting and seeking wisdom. You're literally just coming at it from a, does this person meet all of these at this level that I think they should meet them? Yes, no, checklist. Here it is. Here's my nomination. Here's my name. And my question would be, then where was God in all of that? I think the why is important. I think you got to have the why before you can have the who. So today I just want to talk about the why. Why do we have elders, which are wonderful, and we are blessed by these two men. But they have also seen a need because the burden of the church is heavy. They have seen a need to say, let's share that burden with others who can step into this role. So why have elders? What is the point of spiritual leaders? One of the things the elders asked you to do when Alan stood before you several weeks ago was to spend some time in prayer. So let's just stop at the beginning of this lesson and pray. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. We come before you, Father, asking for your Spirit to be at work in us, individually and collectively. Guide us, Father, through this process, a process that is difficult to understand, but yet who is not? Help us, Father, that if there are those here who are willing and able, then please, Father, anoint them through your Spirit to serve. If there are not people who are willing and able and qualified, then please help us to not go any farther than where we have been, but strive to become more than what we have been. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Many people are familiar with the 23rd Psalm. It is a beautiful psalm. It is quoted by many. And even if they don't quote the entire psalm, they quote at least the first verse of the psalm, which is, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now we can go through the rest of that verse, even the rest of the first verse, "I shall not want." But "the Lord is my shepherd." And I'm starting here because one of the most descriptive ways that the church is understood in the New Testament is that we are sheep in God's fold. That is a description, okay? And so we are, if we are sheep, then shepherding becomes a need, not a desire, but a need. Okay? As you walk through a nomadic society like David's timeline of the Old Testament, shepherding of different styles, but especially with sheep, shepherding and herding of different animals was needed because of how they not just saw wealth, but how they bartered and traded. So if you had sheep, there was a reason for having shepherds. And the reason why, and I'm going to throw Brent under the bus, is because as Brent has pointed out in his class, and I'm not sure that this is a direct quote or not, so if it's not, don't attribute it to him, sheep are dumb. Okay, but if it's not a quote of his, it's an understanding. And I don't mean dumb in the sense that they don't have intellect. I mean sheep left to their own devices only look after self. That's what they do. They will eat everything until it is gone and then have nothing. They don't know where the next green pasture is. They don't know how to find the still waters. They don't know how to have rest because they are constantly looking only inward. What the shepherd does is he comes to that flock and through love guides that flock and brings them into green pastures, brings them along the still waters, restores their soul. When they are going through a very difficult time, through a valley where there is an enemy, the shepherd's rod and staff comforts those sheep because they know the shepherd protects them. The word I just want to sit with today is the word shepherd. And before you jump in and say, well, I thought this was all about the elders, I'm going to tell you from my understanding of Scripture, one of the best ways for elders to learn how to be elders is to look at the great shepherd of Jesus Christ and see how he shepherds. to look at God as the shepherd and see how he shepherded Israel. And what we're going to do today is see this similarity between what we would call elders, which is the most prolific word for this particular office, and what we would say are shepherds. In Acts chapter 20, as Paul is heading back after his third missionary journey, he calls the elders of Ephesus to meet him in Miletus. And he wants to spend some time talking with them. And not just talking, but taking a look at his role as a minister, as an apostle, and literally connecting their role as elders to what he was doing. Now, Wednesday night, and I really hope you come, Rick is going to unpack this passage to you more fully. And so I really hope you're going to be here Wednesday night and kind of walk through this with Rick in Acts chapter 20. But I want to take you to verses 28 through 30, and I just want to make some brief points as we do this. Paul says to those elders, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for or feed for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them." Now, like I said, Rick is going to unpack this for you on Wednesday night. So I really hope you are here for that. But the description that is given by Paul to these elders centers around the concept of shepherding. Okay, that's where, and he calls them overseers of the flock. Okay, that's a shepherding. To care for or to feed the church which belongs to God. That's shepherding. These are terms that are used. What we need and what we have in the two men that are already serving as elders. But what we need to examine is, what then is an elder? What does that person do? And I will point you back time and time again to the idea of shepherding. Over the years, many churches, when they choose elders, have done so by taking a look at people who are good businessmen. People who have a mindset that understand money, understand leadership. They are people who have been a part of a local congregation for an extended period of time. And there are generally people who are more, I'm going to use the word charismatic in personality, but more out there in front of the people. And I'm not saying those are bad things. Please don't take me wrong. I will say next week, those are not the qualifications. Okay? You can be an elder and a good businessman. You can be an elder and a long-term member of the congregation. Those are all true. You can be an elder and have a personality that just attracts people to you. Those are all good things. But those aren't going to be the biblical qualifications that we're going to take a look at. But over time, it became, if you will, a popularity contest that limited who would serve as elders. My point is, God calls men to serve as shepherds. And as shepherds, they take a leadership, hence shepherd, role. So what did this shepherd do? From even just this text, from the bigger portion of this text that Rick is going to unpack, I want to share with you three things, and then we're going to move on to another aspect of this. The first one is that shepherds, go ahead and hit that next slide. Shepherds are leaders who know where they are going. Okay? If shepherds don't know where they are going, how can they shepherd the flock of God? It's just a question I'm throwing out there for you to think. Okay? If you say, okay, as a shepherd, we want, and we use just general terminologies. We want everybody to grow. That's nice. As a shepherd, my question to you is, how are you going to help me to grow? That's my question. Because I'm a sheep and I need some assistance. Shepherds know where they are going. There is a vision that shepherds have, a way of seeing the flock farther down the road than what the flock knows. I think a second point, and again, Rick's going to bring out more points than these, I'm sure, and he might even touch on some of these, is that shepherds protect the flock and know who the wolves are. And that's an important aspect. Because in the modern day congregation, one of the things we have to contend with is what the Bible would call false teachers, or at least false doctrines. So shepherds, elders of the church, need to be people who know God's word. And as you take a look at Acts 20, you're going to see Paul's calling for them to do that, and a little bit of fear of what can happen within, from within that group of shepherds. And the third thing, and then we're going to move on, is that shepherds know their sheep, and their sheep know them. It is really hard to shepherd somebody you don't know. It's just difficult to do. And I'll tell you the biggest reason why. And I can defer to Pat. Everybody wants to defer to Pat because llamas and sheep must be the exact same thing, just different breeds. But where I get to is, if the sheep doesn't know the sheep doesn't trust the shepherd. So if the shepherd doesn't know the sheep, then the sheep isn't going to follow you because they don't know you. They don't trust you. They haven't built a relationship with you that is necessary in order for them to feel that when they're walking through the valley, to not be afraid. Because they know that as a shepherd, your guidance and your protection are because you love them and you walk beside them. To me, the number one reason we need elders in every church is to shepherd us. I don't mean to say to be the boss. Jesus Christ is not that one handled. But they are overseers. They are shepherds of your souls. Another biblical phrase that is done. I can submit to someone when I know that they know more about how I can become the disciple than where I am right now. But here's the interesting thing, and I probably will touch on this next week too. I have been preaching for 36 years, okay? Almost to the day. In February it'll be, or in May it'll be to the day. 36 years I have been full-time ministry. I will tell you right now, you go to the Marshfield, Wisconsin Church of Christ, who hired 22-year-old Jeffrey Dillinger directly out of Fried Hardeman University. It was college at the time, but it's gotten smarter, so now it's a university. And with his bachelor's degree in Bible, to go to this central Wisconsin farm country, pig farming people and become their preacher. And if you would go to that congregation and say, I am sure he was the best preacher you ever have had. They would say, well, he was 22 and growing. He wasn't bad, but he isn't 58 and where he is right now either. Can I give you a word of caution? when we go through these qualifications next week, if you expect everybody to be here, I'm sorry, you might as well just have a blank piece of paper. I can't speak for Dave and Alan, but I would guess over the 11 years they have served this congregation together, I would think they have grown as shepherds. I would say in my 36 years of full-time ministry, I have grown as a minister. I am not where I was, but I am increasing. Shepherds also become better shepherds as they grow. I have to also give some grace for them to pick up and start getting started. I have to do that. I have to do that. Because we are sheep is one of the first things. The second reason why I think it is important to have elders in every congregation, and I'll kind of say with a sheep theme, is because it is easy for me as a Christian. Now, I'm a preacher, so I get thrown into multiple hat rings here. But it's easy for me as an individual to become spiritually complacent. And all that means is I just exist. It's not bad. It's not good. It's just there. I am here. I am kind. I am nice. I give. I do the prayers. I participate in some things that I can. But I'm just kind of there. I want to take you to a passage, Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to begin in verse 11. And it's speaking about Jesus, but it says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. Now, your particular version may have the word pastors and teachers, or may say pastoring shepherds or something along those lines, because those last two words are a question mark of whether it's what they do or whether it's two different things or two different people. So that's just the question. But here's my point. Jesus, who established the church, upon this rock I will build my church. Jesus, who gave to Peter and the apostles the keys to the kingdom of God, who opened the doors on that Acts 2 Pentecost when the church would begin and to flourish. Jesus gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors or shepherds and teachers. Not everybody. He did give it to some. And depending upon your translation, you might even have the word some put in there. But I come back to this word shepherds or pastors. Many people use that as a term for me. I don't fight it. I don't even argue about it. I understand that's a generic term that is used in Christendom today. I get it. By definition, it's actually referring to elders, shepherds of the flock. I also shepherd in a different format, so I have some of that same similarities. But the office is different. If you're going to put it in office terms, I would fit the office of evangelist. That would be the terminology if you're going to use the Ephesians 4. But come back to this passage now. Why them? Verse 13. Verse 12. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. The reason for the leadership of the local church is to help me, a sheep within the congregation, to equip me. Let me give you two examples here. Okay, the first one is verse 12. Shepherds equip saints for works of ministry. I need to be pushed a little bit. And you know what the beauty of a really good shepherd of the church is? He knows how to nudge me along the right pathway. He knows how to push me. Because what he is doing is he provides for me all that I need in order to keep moving forward. He helps me in that area. And we'll see that as we take a look at qualifications next week. So shepherds equip the saints for works of ministry. They don't guilt us, but guilt isn't bad either. Sit with that statement for a moment. You can do with it whatever you like. They don't say you're a bad person. What they say is, are you all that God wants you to be? Is there more that he's calling for you to do? They may even say, we have needs within this congregation, works within this congregation, ministries within this congregation. And we see in you God's gifting to help us in those works of ministry. We need you to step up or step in and help. They equip me for works of ministry. They equip us for spiritual growth. His statement is, until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of, the fullness of Christ. They're going to challenge us. They should be challenging us. Now, they may use me as a voice, but they are challenging us to dig deeply into God's word. They will look at people who are teaching classes to say, help this congregation understand truth. Help walk us through how we become disciples of Jesus Christ. What it means to surrender ourselves, to follow Jesus. Help us to walk through these things. So they're equipping us as saints for spiritual growth. Are you, and this is a question you only answer in your own head, are you more spiritually mature today than you were 5 years ago? And as you think through that, I'm going to make it even more difficult for you. How did you quantify that? I can quote 66 books of the Bible in order. I've memorized 4 texts. What is your definition? But if you were going to say, well, spiritually speaking, as far as my maturity in Christ, meaning my walk as a disciple of Jesus Christ, my willingness to surrender myself for Jesus Christ, my understanding of taking up my cross daily and following Jesus Christ, my walk, my talk, my attitude, my relationship skills, the way I present God's message, if that's changed and matured over the last 5 years, great, you're maturing. But sometimes we just are stagnant. We're complacent. So part of the work that Jesus gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and shepherds and teachers for is so that you wouldn't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine that comes along and by all the cunning and deceitful things that are out there. That's why he put them there. Okay? To help me become a better me. And I need that. And so I look to shepherds to help set that tone of how I do it. So, who should become a shepherd of the flock of God? We know the reason. We know that we need shepherds that know the sheep, shepherds that feed the flock, shepherds that protect the flock, shepherds that equip the flock. We know that they are visionary people that can see down the road and push us to that next level. So who should serve as such a one in a local congregation? By the way, you get to help determine that. Okay? So that's why the elders said, please be in prayer for this. If you haven't been praying over the last 2 weeks about this, I'm asking, I'm begging you, spend some quiet alone time with God in prayer. Shut out the rest of the world. Turn off your phone. I don't care what you have to do. Hide it in the bathroom and then go for a walk in the backyard. I don't care where it happens. Seek some time with God. Say, God, help me to discern. Give me wisdom as I am trying to see this burden that the church has. And help me to be a sheep that wants to follow a shepherd. So please, only appoint the right shepherds. Who should do that? Again, we'll take a look at some qualifications next week. What I'm asking you this week is to think about shepherding, because that is the most descriptive word of what elders do. I have told you before, and I will finish by telling you now, the reason I chose to apply 4 years ago, just about 4 years ago now, but 4 years ago earlier this year, to the Glen Rock Church of Christ, to see if I could work as a minister among this family, is because I, Carrie and I actually, together, decided we needed shepherding. The church where I was serving did not have shepherds, went through a period of time of having elder shepherds, and then due to age, sickness, and other issues, the elders stepped down and the church decided there was nobody that could do that work. A church of 100 people had no one qualified in their mind. No man was mature enough in Christ. No men were mature enough in Christ to take that role. And so the burden was squarely placed upon me. And I could not do it all. I couldn't. Nor did I want to. So I decided I want to find a place with shepherding, a place of elders who look over the flock. Because of the age of internet, I can go on people's websites. I'm telling you, I checked you out long before you ever checked me out. I listened to a number of Brent's sermons because they were the ones that were up online. I looked at bulletins. And I went through them in great detail of trying to figure out what does this church do. And the only avenue I had was to take a look at your bulletin and see what was going on. And you know, when that decision came for Carrie and I, and we were on this website, I was on the church's website, the bulletin that was up, it was the ending of December, was all about a 10-year vision and a year of prayer that you had been going through. And I absolutely just stopped right there and said, that's what I need. I need someone who knows the church well enough to give stepping stones for how to get to where they need to be as disciples. Not throwing them into the deep end and saying sink or swim, but saying here is a process, a journey that will help us to grow. I thought, that's shepherds. I had not met either one of those men. Through phone calls that I had specifically with Dave, I didn't have as many phone calls with Alan. And then finding people that we had in common here, which I was amazed at how many people you and I had in common before I ever moved here. I pray, God, please open the door at Glen Rock. Oh, I had looked at several other churches. I had talked with several other churches, and a couple of churches talked with me. But I wanted to be here. I wanted to be at a place where people who serve as elders wanted to help people grow as disciples. And that's what elders do. So who among us helps to push, provide, walk with, encourage, spiritually, someone that you would go to sit down and say, I am struggling. A situation with my child, a situation in my marriage, a situation with my work, a situation with my finances. I am struggling and I need some biblical guidance. Who would you go to? When we go through the qualifications, they're going to be your spiritual men in this particular case. Next week, you'll get what you probably thought you were going to get this week. We'll talk about those qualifications. But I'm asking you to pray. I'm asking you to spend time in prayer. And as you do, let God change your heart and become more like Him. Let's stand together and sing a song.